Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take a spin.
With shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life
in New York City. I am Connor McDowell.
And I'm Dylan McDowell. And there is something we need to address.
I know. We need to address something because in the last hour, I got two troubling texts from two former lovers. Mm-hmm. And they reached out of the blue. It's been ages.
And you've been visibly thrown.
I'm visibly thrown. The look on my face was pure shock. My heart's racing right now thinking about it. I'm being overly dramatic. But anyway, what do we need to address?
We need to just clear that out of the room, and that's
I know.
Right now. We need to talk about how we saw the third preview of Company this week.
We need to talk about it.
It was brilliant.
Obsessed.
Yeah.
I think it's one of my favorite productions of anything I've ever seen.
That's big.
That's big. And I also think it's my favorite musical of the season.
So far?
I do.
Really?
I do.
Okay.
I know.
No, I mean, it was great.
Yeah. I think the direction was fabulous. What they've done to update it, not only to modern day, but to have a female lead, I think the possibilities for Company could be endless.
I think they could have gone a little further even.
Oh, what do you mean?
I don't think all the boyfriends needed to be boyfriends. Some of the other genders could have been switched as well. But hey,
absolutely.
I'm not complaining. We got here and it's really good.
And Matt Doyle,
our former guest and friend of the podcast, Matt Doyle, was phenomenal.
He got it stopped the show. His number.
And I would not be surprised if we heard his name a lot more during awards season.
Drama.
Our favorite time of the year, awards season.
Yes.
Yes. And then, I mean, of course, to see Ms. Patti LuPone.
I know. And we had seen her in War Paint before, mm-hmm. which we were like, we don't know if we'll ever see her again. We need to go.
Well, she said she would never do another musical.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And then there was The Hip.
Her timing, her vocals, unmatched.
We were eating out of the palm of her hand.
I know. She got applause. Like, it was almost a standing ovation. Even before she started her big number, she's like, I'd like to propose a toast.
And the crowd
audience goes wild.
Nuts. It was a moment in time for sure. They were gagged for that. But also, you know, I will say we did see one other production of Company prior.
Oh.
With Aaron Tveit.
Your fave.
My number one. And I missed him in a way.
He was so good.
I think about his being alive all the time.
I know. Well, I think I like to go into a show blind. So I guess without having heard it before. And so obviously Company had been out for a long time before I even saw it, Aaron Tveit's production, which is the first one we saw.
Yeah.
And Lauren Marcus was in it too.
Yeah,
and Mara Davi
from
Smash. Oh my God, we'll talk about Smash. But yes, I don't think I understood the brilliance of Company the first time. I was a little bit overwhelmed. I was a little bit confused. I was like, is this a linear story? All that. But since in the years since, I have fallen in love with it. And I think it's one of the most brilliant pieces of theater.
I agree.
That exists.
Like most Sondheim pieces, it ages with you.
Yes.
You learn more things every time you see it.
I don't know.
I
relate to Bobby,
too.
Oh, wait.
Okay. Wait,
I know. We're
that.
Really jumping in. But I think I relate to the idea of maybe not settling down, wanting to settle down. I mean, obviously, I'm about 10 years younger than Bobby is, but I can truly connect to it. And I was thinking about my own connection to what the character Bobby means. And then I was thinking, okay, well, now they have a woman playing Bobby. Could it be a gay woman? Could it be a bi woman? Could it be a gay man? And I think the answer is yes, because it is a universal story.
Sure.
And I think making small changes to not old pieces of theater, but theater that has been out for a while is totally fine. Because it's not like we're not going to see the original production the way it was originally written again.
Right.
You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? And I know the controversial West Side Story production that's out right now, this is the last thing I'll say about it. I am not as upset about the changes made to the, the cut songs, all that.
Sure.
The controversies aside, which we know what they are and, you know.
Right.
But I think it's okay that this production in particular is a little bit different because I think we will see the original West Side Story again.
Oh, without a doubt.
You know?
Without a doubt.
It's done every month around the country, I'm sure.
I'm certainly no purist when it comes to revivals. I think that if you're going to do it again, change some things up. Like that Oklahoma revival is a great example of that.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. Wow, we're really ranting. I don't know why we're going off right now. Okay, anyway.
I think we need to bring in our guest.
I know.
Who is one of the number one requested people. Anytime we put out the siren call for someone to say, who do you want on drama? this person is always listed.
And that's difficult to get. Not everybody has that.
Not everybody has that. I'm going to bring him in.
Yes, please.
Our guest today is already a star. Having made his Broadway debut at the ripe age of 16, is the titular role in Dear Evan Hansen. In addition to being the winner of the Best Actor Award at the 2018 National High School Musical Theater Awards, a.k.a. the Jimmy Award.
Yes, God.
He has his own theater company called Znifrock Productions, where he raises money for autism awareness. He's also the writer and honestly performs whatever role he needs to in his parody musical, Star Wars, a musical hope. And after a year of waving through a window, our guest has decided he's taking his talents to Harvard University to further his education. With droves of followers and fans, the sky is the limit for this incredible performer, actor, and creator. Please welcome to Drama,
Andrew Barthelman.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, this is so fun.
We were
agree
ranting.
With all the things you said.
I know you were like itching to jump.
Well, I haven't seen Company yet, but I'm absolutely dying to. I am going to pick this up.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I'm dying to see it.
Well, because you were, you know, in a show for a year. Did you even see much of anything over the last year?
No, I got to see Oklahoma while I was in the show, which was great. I didn't see Patrick Vale, which I regret.
Oh, he was really good.
I know. But the understudy was great. I don't remember his name, but he was fantastic. I saw that. I feel like there was one other show that I saw. I'm finally like seeing everything. I just saw Moulin Rouge for like the third time.
Yes.
And like, I do like Moulin Rouge a lot. Like, not like three times in a row, but like everyone keeps being like, let's go see Moulin Rouge. Uh-huh. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, let's, it's just it. A party. It's the
yeah,
best time.
It is.
I just saw that last night. And then I'm.
Did you see it? With...
You saw it last night.
I saw it again last night.
Oh my God. Yeah. Any understudies?
I did. So, okay. The first time I had the full cast, last time I saw it, I had an understudy for Aaron, who was great.
Oh, he missed. You know, he's like legendary.
I know, but it was
missing.
Like a weird like Thursday matinee.
Oh, so. They do those.
Yeah, yeah. And then last night I had an understudy for Santiago, and he was great as well. And I love the guy who does it, but he was great.
Oh, how cool! I know. I love seeing
understudies.
Me too, because when they're good, it's like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, like I'm seeing something very special tonight.
Yeah,
I have such a newfound appreciation for it after doing a Broadway show and like, you know, needing them and also like befriending them so much, like they became like my core like family, all the understudies in the building. So
aww.
it's I have such an appreciation for them, and I loved going on with understudies.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, it changes it up too. I mean, after a year of doing something,
it can get very, and especially in a production like that that has to be so specific, having new energy is so useful.
You're so imagine. Young, but I already feel like you have an old soul in many ways.
I hear that a lot. I can imagine
that. Yeah, I have to ask you before we jump into anything else.
Sure.
Are you well?
Yeah, right now I am. Yeah. It's funny. I've been going back to the theater every now and then to say hi to everyone, and they're like, "Oh my God, like you got like a tan." And I'm like, "No, I just have color in my face again." Like I was sick for an entire year, and not like sick like I was diagnosed with like sickness, but like I had the symptoms of like coronavirus for an entire year.
Oh
like
God,
I was
yeah.
pale and coughing and my diet was super restricted. So like that's what this role does. And they're like, yeah, you're going through the Evan transformation where like you grow a bit of a beard and you have color again, and like you grow a couple inches and you gain a couple pounds after. Yeah, so it was a crazy year. But right now, yeah,
good.
I'm well.
I'm glad to hear
you seem well.
You do.
You know, that's so funny you mentioned that, because I can imagine going through what Evan goes through from start to finish, I'm sure is traumatizing. You're just like, you go through it. And you're, I mean, I didn't get to see you in the show, but
that's okay.
I'm sure you're like crying, you're feeling every emotion.
Yeah. I mean, but it's also really cathartic at the end of the day. And the trauma is healed in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it absolutely
is. At the beginning, I think I really didn't allow myself that catharsis, but as it went on, I knew that I sort of found that I really needed it.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah, it was a crazy, crazy special year.
Oh, I can just hear like the way that you're talking about it. It seems like it's something that you're continuing to sort of make peace with it being over, and it'll be with you forever. But so can you tell the story? I know it's been often told about how you ultimately were discovered and brought into Dear Evan Hansen.
Wait, crazy. I don't actually know.
Really?
I don't know the story.
That's so
it's like,
fun.
It's legendary.
It's sort of, it's crazy the way people talk about it now is like, it's like this Broadway legend story, and that's like so cool.
iconic.
But it's, okay, so starting from like the beginning, I played Frank Jr. in my school's production of Catch Me If You Can, which besides Evan is the hardest I've ever worked for a role.
Mm-hmm. That's my favorite musical.
You know, I didn't love it until I did it, and then I was like, oh my God, there's so much here for this character. So I worked really hard, and then I sort of found out about the Jimmy Awards, the National High School Musical Theater Awards, and I went up to my teacher and I was like, can we submit for the Roger Reese Awards, which is the New York region Jimmy Awards, that if you win that you get the Jimmy Awards. I was nominated for a Roger Reese Award. I went and did that, and I won, which was crazy on its own. So then I go to do the Jimmy Awards. It's craziest week, still most intense week of my life. Like, it was 14-hour days of, like, Broadway boot camp. It's insane. If you've ever never seen the documentary, I highly recommend it because it's very funny.
I've never seen the documentary, but I've read Natalie Walker's,
it's perfect.
Behind the scenes.
I read it, like, once a month. It's
perfect. She is a genius. I felt like I was in the room. There.
Beyond. Yeah. I mean, everything that she said was true. And, like, I was like, oh, my God, I forgot about that. Because, like, by the end of the day, we'd be like, remember 2 days ago when we did this? And we were like, oh, wait, that was this morning? Like, that was the kind of week it was. Oh, my God. So the end of the week comes, and I win the Jimmy Awards with Renee Rapp, who's currently doing Mean Girls, who is, like, one of my closest friends.
Oh, my God.
That was insane. Like, people talk about that now, like that's, like, my roots. Mm-hmm. And that's still crazy to me, yeah. The Jimmy Awards thing. The Jimmy Awards were sponsored by Dear Evan Hansen that year, and now are sponsored every year by Dear Evan Hansen. So Stacey Mandich, our lead producer, was in the audience, and Tara Rubin, our casting director, was a judge. So at intermission, Stacey texted Tara and said, I think that's our next Evan.
Get out. Oh, my God.
So I met Tara after the show. We had a meeting, and then they called me in for, like, what I later found out was many people's, like, the equivalent of their final callback. Like people who had been through the ringer, like, this was what months had led them up to. Okay. I had sort of skipped the line, which is crazy.
Yeah. fast pass.
Yeah. Yes.
Disney vibes.
Fast pass. I fast passed the Dear Evan Hansen audition. And it was for the male swing, actually, which I speculate now was them trying not to scare me.
Sure.
But it was like a session with an associate director, and then it was Michael Greif, Bench and Justin, Alex Lacamoire, Stacey Mindich, Stephen Levinson were all in the room. And I walk in the room and I'm like, hi. And Michael Greif is like, hello, Andrew, would you like to do a little waving for us? And I was like, yes, thank you. And they all laughed, and I said, sorry, I'm just really excited to be here. And I think that's how I got the job. And then, like, it was like 3 days after that I found out that I...
Oh, wow. Amazing. One and done.
Yeah, which is crazy. Because Benj always tells me, like, we were looking for an Evan, and you walked in the room, and you were Evan, and that was it. Like,
wow.
Oh, my God. I love that story.
It's insane. It's very, very, very... crazy. And, like, that's actually what it is and what happened. Like it seems ridiculous, but that's for real what it was.
And so that was, like, summer the year before you did Evan Hansen? Okay.
That was the summer before.
Okay.
And I started in January, the January after.
Okay.
God, so I remember the summer we saw Dear Evan Hansen in DC.
Yeah.
We were... Was that 2015?
When it was a different show.
It was, yes. And it was on a whim. We were visiting our friends Alex and Michelle, who were living.
And Isaac.
And Isaac. Yes. They were all living in DC that summer. And we had, like, I don't know, you heard about it or something. Mm-hmm. You were like, oh, the kid from Pitch Perfect, Benji from Pitch Perfect, is in this show that's written by the guys who did Dogfight.
And Songs on Smash.
I was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
And so we got these cheap tickets.
So you did like a pay your age thing.
I paid.
And we were a little younger.
It was the cheapest ticket in town. We were like front mez. And truly, I think what I knew about the show was it was about a... Which is funny now because it's been out for years, but I think the what they were marketing it as was like a boy tells a lie.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to know.
Well, like, they had no idea how to market the show. Mm-hmm. They had no idea what the appeal of the show was. Yeah. It was before they'd written You Will Be Found,
right.
Which is now the big thing in the show.
I remember there was a strange, it wasn't strange. Part of me, which we've now have a recording.
Yeah, which is great. And if
Are
you,
you
ask,
on that?
No.
Okay.
They did the deluxe album like right before I came in, which I was like, come on.
I know.
Taylor's amazing, but like, I would have really like to part of me is if you ask anyone in the cast, like, oh, I hate that song.
Yes.
And I love the song, but it's just because, you know, it doesn't serve the story the same way that You'll Be Found does.
Yeah. And also there was a different opening number. Yeah.
Right. This will be the year.
This will be the year. Which we were gagged for. We loved it. I don't know why we were so obsessed. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I literally loved it. But we, from the second Waving, I mean, which it's weird to talk about this now, but from the second Waving Through Windows started, full body chills, and they didn't stop the rest
Lump
of the show.
In my throat.
I was so emotionally moved by the show, and I think there's something really cool about going into something cold, having no idea what it is, and just being so affected by it. Not having word of mouth telling you what you should think, or if you're going to love it, or if you're not going to love it, or whatever you're supposed to think about something because you've read reviews.
All I knew about the show, but when I saw it, was that Ben Platt was amazing, and that I would be good in the role. I love that. It was Mark Timonelli, who we were just talking about before, who runs Broadway Workshop. We I heard Waving Through a Window was the first thing I heard. And I said, I hope this show flops so that I can sing this in every audition. Uh-huh. And he said, you hope this show succeeds so you can be in it.
Oh.
And I was like, it was 2016. And so sure, I was young, like 14 or 15. And, yeah.
Same. LOL.
That was, I mean, so then I knew I had to see it, and I was like, and I remember saying on Facebook, I hope you're right about this one, Mark. And I like, said that on Facebook.
Oh, that's that's drama.
It's very great. That's drama. There you go.
That's drama.
So, okay, so did you see it then once it came to New York in second stage?
Yeah, I saw it on Broadway. I didn't see it in second stage because that was before I, like, I was my town's resident theater historian, but like sure. That was Broadway and like only Broadway, and I knew nothing about off Broadway. So I only saw it on Broadway and I heard these amazing things about it, and I was like, that was it. Like, that's what theater is. That's what theater should be. And I saw it again with Ben, and then I saw it with Taylor, and then I saw it like 13 more times with Taylor when I was cast. But
it was
life changing. And I think I had yet to, even until this year, I'd really had yet to acknowledge my own struggles with mental health, my own anxiety and stuff. And so that show articulated something to me that I didn't know how to be articulated to me. And that's the responsibility that I felt doing it every night was, that's a service that I'm providing to some kid out there, probably many, who at the stage where I hear, like, this show saved my life, your performance saved my life, which is crazy. And that would go for anyone playing the role because it's such a perfect, airtight show. But I knew what it did for me, and so that was the responsibility that I had, was to do that for others.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see the way that fans have really latched on to you.
Yeah, it's really nice. And it's funny, because it's sort of split, not half and half, but there are definitely the fans who are like, this isn't Ben, and they would do that for anyone. And then I remember when I was starting, there was a lot of talk about, like, oh, he's going to destroy himself. Like, he's going to destroy his voice. He's going to destroy his body. Like, why are they making this person do this? But that didn't happen, thank God.
I know, we're here now. We can confirm he looks great, all is well.
Because after a few months in the show, I remember a lot of, like, the word around town was like, oh my God, Ben is in, like, weekly vocal lessons. He's in, I don't know if he was doing PT or whatever. Like, everyone was like, he's not doing gluten or dairy. And he's, like, it was a really strict lifestyle he was living. And I think...
And that was the precedent that was set.
Okay,
So that's what I started to do. And the vocal lessons are part of it. Like, that's part of the deal now. Weekly sessions with Liz Kaplan.
That's great.
We get PT if we want it. I never really went because I was okay, like, as a, like, young person.
Sure.
I was like,
I can
handle this. And, like, I actually truly stopped because they were like, you need to, like, stretch more. And then I was like, you're telling me to do things that I don't want to do, so I'm going to stop coming.
Relatable.
Yeah.
Really.
Which now I really need it. I need to stretch my hamstrings. I have the hamstrings of an 80-year-old man. But, like, if you look at videos of me bowing, I bend my knees. Like, that's how bad it is. But, yeah, that's part of it. And I actually started doing 5 shows a week because I was still at school.
Right.
I was being tutored while all of it was happening, which is a whole other thing. And a couple keys were lowered, and a couple of placements were not different, but just, like, protective. Mm-hmm. But by the end, I was doing all the things that I wasn't doing at the beginning.
Oh, so wow. Okay.
It was a total growth thing.
Oh, that's
really
amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. So I don't know if you know this, or I'm sure you would. Is there an alternate who does matinees for Jordan Fisher now as well?
Yes, it's okay. every Evan. It started with Ben. Ben started doing 6 because, like, you know, around Tony's time, he was like, I need someone else to carry some of this load.
He was also doing all the press leading up to it, too.
All the press.
I'm sure that
he was doing
horrible.
8 a week, which is impossible to think about. It was and impossible for a person to do, and he sort of hit
Evan.
End.
Evan has like 4 11 o'clock numbers, you know. Yeah. Like it. I mean, I'm just like throwing it out.
I mean,
there,
doesn't leave the stage.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He leaves during Requiem, and then like a couple very short times in Act 2. Barely any pee time.
Yeah.
Barely any like it's really it's
a long show.
Like, it is a long show.
There's a lot of book in there.
It's funny because Ben's was about 2.5 hours, and pretty much everyone after him is like another 10 to 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Because he talked so fast. And like, it's just not human. It's just not human. And I talked fast, but I would take like pauses. Sure. And Michael Greif would be like, please, I need you to stop taking pauses. But like, I was like, I don't know what to do. Because especially toward the end, Jessica Phillips, who's currently playing Heidi and is incredible.
Oh,
is the same. And like, we'll really take pauses. So we would just feed into each other. It would just like not sound like a real conversation anymore. So it got long. And I got in trouble very often for it being
so
long.
Would that note come from like stage management?
It would come from stage management. It would come from, there was a time where the only notes I was getting were like pages of like, pick up this cue, say this faster.
Wow.
They're very, Greif really, really loves to note. Mm-hmm. And it's incessant, but it gets us where we need to get.
Yeah. Were you a fan of his work before?
Oh my God, of course. I mean, Rent changed the game for me. Mm-hmm. Of just like, I saw the movie, obviously, but then I saw it at New World Stages. And like, that was
that
first
off-Broadway revival. Mm-hmm. That
oh my
did.
God.
Yeah, it was the first production I saw of that. And I was like, this is a, I didn't know we could do this. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know this was a thing theater could be. And then obviously, like, Next to Normal, I fell in love with. I didn't get to see it, but I watched many a bootleg.
And there's a great Jessica Phillips bootleg.
Yes, there is. Yes. The one I watch a lot is it's the whole original cast and Brian Darcy James is Dan.
Okay. That's my favorite one. I haven't seen that.
That's my favorite one.
Okay.
I think it's I love Brian Darcy James so much, and maybe this is my drama at the end, but I have to say it now. Is he has so narrowly avoided winning a Tony at every turn.
Every turn. I know. You're so right.
He replaced in The Ferryman. He didn't do Next to Normal to do Shrek, which mm-hmm. He was nominated for.
He was nominated, yeah.
And then there
was he nominated for Something Rotten?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Because Christian Borle won that season for featured.
Right.
But yeah, Brian's amazing.
Brian is a treasure.
Yeah.
And now he's doing like TV. He's got like 13 Reasons Why.
Oh, wait, good for him.
Oh yeah,
he did do Hamilton.
Yeah, he was the king.
But then he didn't do that.
Then he didn't do it.
He didn't do the original cast of Hamilton.
He puts down the foundation for all these roles, I think.
And yeah, you know? And then he just narrowly avoids. Yeah. Like, he would have won for Next to Normal, which is
probably. Oh, he's so great.
Now, okay, so that off-Broadway Rent, that was like when they kind of like tweaked a couple of things. Wasn't Annalee Ashford in that?
Annalee Ashford was Maureen. It was Adam Chandler Barat, who I immediately fell in love with.
Oh yeah, he's
as
amazing.
Mark. And it was sort of what I've heard is that it was Michael sort of being like frustrated for years and years of like, he can change mm-hmm. the show. And so he's like, now I can do all the things that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And it was great. I mean, it was Adam Chandler Barat was Mark, Annalee Ashford, was it Telly Leung or was that Hollywood Bowl?
He definitely did Hollywood Bowl, and he also did the tour.
It was someone really. I know Taylor Trench has a really funny story because he was a cover in that show.
Oh,
and he almost went on as Angel, but
no. I love Taylor Trench.
I adore Taylor Trench as a performer, as a person. He is perfect.
He understands the assignment and nails it every time.
Every time.
Every time.
He just doesn't complain. Oh my God, his Evan was so gorgeous.
And I've heard that too. Yeah.
Heartbreaking.
I wish I could see every single Evan.
I know.
They're all so different. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. the thing is that's what's cool. And that's why I get so frustrated with like the rankings that everyone tries to do.
I'm sure that, yeah.
Because there's no way, mm-hmm. like there's no way to compare. And it's actually funny because Jose was my driver of the year and he's driven all the Evans. Okay. So he's seen all the Evans. He's come to see every one of them. And he's like, I can't compare you to the rest because there's no, like, you're all totally different leagues. Mm-hmm. He also had notes for me, which was very funny.
Oh, my God.
I love him. He's
Jose,
like,
shout out. That's so great. Oh, my God.
He's really, really funny. I've been told he's had notes for all the Evans. he's amazing. Everyone is so different, and I can't wait to see Jordan. And Sam just got nominated for an Olivier.
I know.
Sam
is
so cute.
I'm recently obsessed with him.
We watched the video of you all doing For Forever.
That's like my favorite thing. And for a while, that was all anyone would like talk to me about because like it's so good.
It's so good.
Oh my God, it's beautiful.
We actually recorded that. I was the only Evan in that video who was actively doing the show.
Okay.
So I recorded it on a different day than the other three. So I went in and laid down like the sort of basic track, and then everyone else, the three of them were together. And did, so I, the first time I heard the track was on that day that we were filming.
Oh. So you did all film together.
We did all film together.
Like, Dylan was conspiring.
It looks like there's a world where it couldn't have happened.
Where it was just you and Sam.
No, it was.
And then just the other two.
It was all of us. It was Stephen Anthony was on vacation because he was about to start full time on the tour. Robert Marcus happened to be visiting a friend in New York because he wrapped up his run. And Sam was rehearsing in New York. So we were all,
together. I was doing the logistics. I was like, I know. Maybe they were all in London. Like, what?
We love watching things and trying to figure out what is actually there, like plastic surgery, what green screen, like did they film their scenes together?
Like, especially in this business, it's usually just what it looks like.
Is what you get. That's what I love about theater, though. Like the authenticity part. It's brilliant.
Exactly. We don't think to do it any other way.
Right.
Okay, so I need to ask you, veering off from Dear Evan Hansen, unless Dylan, do you have anything else about Dear Evan Hansen? Okay. We like to ask our guests about their Ring of Keys moment, which is inspired by the musical Fun Home, which basically is that moment when you saw something or heard something and you thought, oh, performing arts, theater, pop culture. This needs to be in my life forever and always, and I could see a career for myself for this. Do you feel like you have that moment?
Yes, and I think I discovered sort of recently, I think it was High School Musical. I was watching High School Musical on TV.
Okay.
I'd seen a Broadway, because I was like 4 when it came out, and I saw Beauty and the Beast before that. and I was watching, I saw Beauty and the Beast on Broadway. That was the first Broadway show I ever saw, but then I'm watching it on, like, I vividly, it might be my first memory. Probably not. I think Beauty and the Beast might actually be my first, but I vividly remember like going on demand to watch it. And like,
and it was the first one.
The first one.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God. Like, first of all, it set me up for like, for years. I was like, in elementary school, I was like a real player with the, because I was like, I just wanted to be Troy Bolton.
Aspiring Troy Bolton.
Yeah, I was aspiring Troy Bolton, except besides the basketball part. but yeah, I think that was when I was like, oh, I have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know you could. Like, when I was 8, somebody was like, do you want to go do this community theater show? And I was like, this is a thing we can just go to do. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have to be chosen by God or something. and I did. My first show was Annie. I was Mr. Bundles.
Oh, classic.
And after that was my first role with, like, a song was LeFou and Beauty and the Beast. And then that was like, oh, now I'm, like,
oh, look at that, Beauty and the Beast then. Like,
I know, right? That's it cool. Really ties in. So I was, that was when I started becoming, like, a character actor, which I think is what Evan Hansen is. I think he requires a character actor.
I love that take. I think you're right.
Well, look at Ben.
Ben is a character actor. Taylor's a character actor. Oh, yeah. Jordan is looks like a leading man, but he's a character actor.
Yeah.
Like, so
this changes everything.
High School Musical, I think, is amazing. It brought the musical. Because I don't know that there were that many popular, mainstream TV musicals at the time.
I heard recently they did, like, focus group testing recently on the original movie, and the new generation, like, doesn't see the problem. They're like, why can't he just do both? And that's amazing.
Oh, my God. I have chills.
Like, that's because of that movie.
Yeah.
That's why.
Oh, like, fully.
God, we were watching, our friend was visiting us from out of town, and he had never seen High School Musical 3 senior year.
Incredible movie. Mm-hmm. I saw it
in
theaters.
We went on midnight, but when it came out, we thought it was going to be like this big premiere moment, like everyone's going to be packed.
There might have been 20 people.
That's what deserted. I just saw. Well, I just did that with Onward. I saw it like 6 o'clock like the day before, and like literally nobody, because nobody's going to see movies right now. Everyone's,
I know.
I'm scared of going out.
Yeah.
But cried my eyes out.
We have tickets for after this. It's the Onward. Yeah.
I mean, it was made very specifically for me, but like it's a perfect movie. Like,
okay.
It's
okay,
one of my top Pixar movies.
Oh, I can't
it looks
wait.
Gorgeous as always in Pixar style.
It's incredible. And Tom Holland and Chris Pratt are delivering.
Mm, oh, okay, I love Tom Holland.
So I know that we don't like to rank things, but like, what is your favorite of the High School Musicals, the original trilogy?
Yes. I've been thinking about this a lot. I think the answer is 2, then 1, then 3.
Okay.
But I love all of them so much. Like, this is very difficult for me. I think it's 2 because the music is just so good, and like the conflict is really like, well, I'm concerned.
100%.
Yeah.
And Sharpay is a full leading lady.
Jeez.
Like tornado.
That's
she was
movie.
Great. Ashley Tisdale was so good.
So good in those movies.
Oh my God. And okay, so we watched 3 recently, and it's Troy's movie. I mean, Zac Efron is a leading man.
I am.
He's great.
So here's my thing, is that I'm straight, like, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm.
But like, I watched 2 and I was like, that's the exception.
Yeah.
There he is.
There he had the hair and the body.
Oh my God.
He was like at the everyman. Everyone was in love with him or wanted to
be
him.
Yeah.
I was watching 2 and like sweating. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like,
yeah.
2 was the movie where him and Vanessa Hudgens were still dating, I believe.
I think they were
in the real world. Yeah.
In the real world. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they would just like have like often like be sitting together and she would just be giggling and like they would just like sing these ballads. Oh, so good. That movie, they taught me about love, those two.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a very like pure love.
It's so good.
It's so good.
And then High School Musical, the musical, the series is genius.
Have you seen that?
It's like my favorite thing in the world.
I'm
like,
with you on 100%.
I'm deeply, deeply, deeply obsessed with it. Like, I've seen every episode at least 3 times. And it's all I listen to, like unhealthily obsessed.
I wish you were on it.
I know.
I was on it, too. That would be so fun.
My favorite song is Wondering.
It's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
They wrote that. The kids wrote these songs. Like,
I knew that Olivia Rodrigo wrote
All I Want. I think I heard that she also helped write Wondering.
Of course she did.
She is a force to be reckoned with. She saw Dear Evan Hansen, and we met, I bowed down to her. She is, and she's also like the kindest person in the world.
Is she tiny?
So down to earth. She's like shorter than me.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Tiny.
I get that.
Oh my God. She's amazing. Oh, I love her.
It's so good.
I'm obsessed with Joshua Bassett too. Like he's
that's
just,
the other exception. Like,
yeah. He's so cute.
He's so nice. And like that Troy Bolton factor from the originals, like you really want to root for him. And oh, he's got such a compelling storyline. And
That actually means a lot to me because my parents were getting divorced when I was like 9.
Okay.
And so theater was like my house. Like it was mm-hmm. like the theater, the community theater that I was with was like healthier than home at the time, wow. as my mom put it. And like, and so watching, I don't remember, it was the end of one of the episodes. He gets home. His mom has just like told him that he's leaving and he puts his earbuds in and is listening to High School Musical. And I was like, ooh, like that I got
real.
Chills.
Ooh,
like,
yeah, that's big. Wow. So yeah,
good.
That's the thing about theater too, is it like, it really is a home. Have you watched Encore at all?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Like that's like what you learn about all these kids who just,
I cry at every episode of Encore.
I know.
We need to catch up on that though.
And it's been a minute. That show's great.
I've only watched the episodes of like shows that I like know and am fond of. The Grease episode is maybe my favorite episode.
We have not gotten there yet.
I highly recommend it.
We did Grease in eighth grade.
I did Grease in what I think was fifth grade.
That's insane. That is so insane.
I just did it again like 2 years ago when I was Duty, and Jordan and I joke about it a lot because he played it like hot on TV.
He did, he did.
And I played it more along the lines of Nick Kroll and Oh Hello.
Oh my God.
Like there's this one delivery where the line is, gee, she sounds really cool, Danny. And I watched the video recently and I said, gee, she sounds really cool, Danny. Like truly full Nick Kroll. And Jordan makes fun of me for it all the time.
Oh my God. You know, there's another Duty in the room. Dylan.
I am a former Duty.
Oh my God.
Those Magic Changes.
What a song.
It's a bop. Forever stuck in my head.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that was like, honestly, like in terms of community theater, that was show was one of the best casts I've ever been part of. So we were all like topping each other.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah,
I
yeah.
did the like, the thing that he does on the new album.
Yes.
Like, oh my darling.
Yes.
Like destroyed my voice.
I remember
doing
that album. That was like that came out like a year or two before our production, and I remember like trying to do that.
It's so hard. Mm-hmm. And the mooning thing was I had to call back for Roger, and I tried to stand.
Yes,
but it did not go well.
Mooning is an underrated bop too.
I loved that cast recording. Mm-hmm. Was that like the Laura Osnes?
The Laura Osnes and Max Krum one. Yeah.
Lindsay Mendez is on there.
It's an amazing cast.
Robin Herter, who
Robin
is
Herter
I am
Marty.
Obsessed with Robin.
I know.
Herter.
We want her for drama. So Matt Doyle is helping us get Robin Herter.
I saw her in a Chorus Line at City Center, and I was like, oh,
she was,
no.
She was Cassie,
I'm
right?
obsessed with her. She was Cassie, and she's incredible, and she's so good in Moulin Rouge. It's absurd.
It's one of those featured performances that you're like, okay, she doesn't have much material, but what she does with it is so memorable.
She's on stage. You're looking at her.
You're looking at her. Oh my God, it's great.
The way that her leg does that thing where it goes all the way up and she looks like a straight line.
She looks like a straight line.
It's crazy. Oh my God.
That Bad Romance number is unreal.
Yeah, I could watch it.
I hope they do that one at the Tonys. We'll see. Who knows? They probably will do like the opening.
They'll probably do the opening.
Yeah. No,
but that would be amazing if they did that number.
Mm-hmm. You're right. It will be the opening.
It depends on who's nominated, though.
True. Very true.
I think it'll be nominated for Best Musical.
It will. I think it'll be. Here's the thing that I've been thinking about is that I think Karen will definitely be nominated. I think Aaron will be nominated because it's not a male-driven season, and he's very good in the show, but it's like, for them to break their we're not nominating Aaron Tveit rule for this show is very funny.
Andrew, you're so funny. Dylan talked about this all the time.
It was my dose of drama a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
I think that it's finally his nomination.
I think it is, too, because who else?
That's the thing. There's so many women this year.
And there's no men.
There's no male lead in Company. There's no male lead in Six. There's male leads in North Country, but it's more ensemble.
Yeah, and we
focused.
Haven't seen Diana yet, so I don't.
True.
We don't.
And we haven't seen Flying Over Sunset yet.
That's true too.
Which could be that could be two right there with Tony Yazbek and Harry.
But we'll Isaac will get nominated, and I've been keeping a list.
I don't think
I love that you're
Jacket.
Into nomination stuff because it's Connor Knight every Subway ride.
I won our Tony's bracket at the
I
theater.
Love that. Oh my
I
god!
I won the money
this past year.
This past year, I won.
I'm trying to remember.
Hang on, I'm pulling up my.
That's so funny.
Well, because also. I don't know that there's a male lead in Jagged.
I don't think they're not putting anyone.
It's the women,
but I think maybe Brennick O'Connor for Sing Street, which
right he's featured could, though, right?
We saw it off.
He's the lead of the show,
and then
the last
Rob McClure was the other one.
Oh, Rob McClure.
Oh, okay.
Probably.
Well, I think that'll be it.
I hope so.
He's a genius.
He deserves it, but like, will they do that after just giving it to Santino?
I know.
But he deserves to win, and I'm still to this day mad that he didn't win for Chaplin, because that was one of the best performances.
Oh my God, Chaplin! We talked about that. It's a blind spot for me.
We had Haley Pichon on last week, and she was in Chaplin. Oh, yeah. And she, or a couple weeks ago, we had her on, and yeah. she talked about how like that was like one of the shortest runs ever, but it's like something that has affected so many people.
It's so sad because mm-hmm. his performance in that was beyond anything I've ever mm-hmm. seen in my life.
Oh, so I can only He's imagine. Great.
It was he is also one of the kindest people in the business.
We saw him on the Something Rotten tour yes. twice. Mm-hmm. He's amazing.
He is the most committed person to everything ever. He almost did Star Wars, actually.
Oh.
But he was busy with Doubtfire. But yeah, he was like slated to do it until the Doubtfire dates.
Okay, we need to talk about Star Wars.
Sure.
Which we came to see.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
The second. Well, like, the 7 p.m. of this past one.
Okay. Okay.
It was truly one of the most deranged and wild nights ever.
Yeah.
And I loved it. Yeah, I loved every second of it. You know which song is my favorite?
Which song is your favorite?
It's Han Solo's number towards the end of the show.
Yes, that's my favorite too.
It is, and you slayed it.
Thank you.
You got the vocals, kid. No, for real, I loved that song.
I'm so glad you liked it. It was the most fun night of my life. Like
everyone was so solid in the cast too.
It was crazy, and mm-hmm. and it's funny because this like cast that we ended up with, like, and I love all the people that we did last time, like. Truly, truly, truly. But this cast that we ended up with, I was like, these are not people that I'm asking a favor. Mm-hmm. Like, these are people that I know that I can, like, have in my corner forever. And, oh my God, it was so fun. And those people really all, like, were just like, mm-hmm. yeah, we're going to come do this silly thing. Like, everyone knew exactly what it was that they were doing. It was insane. It was the most fun.
Oh, it was
you know what I was thinking about watching it is A New Hope, Star Wars A New Hope, which of course this, for those listening who don't know what this is, this was a musical
yes.
of Star Wars A New Hope, aka the first Star Wars movie that came out.
Right.
And you wrote it when you were in either middle or high school?
Yeah, I was
right?
I was in eighth grade, and my friend Adrian and I wrote it together, and yeah,
it's a straightforward movie, and I think it makes for a good music. It's easy to follow, you know.
Agree. It's there's a lot. When we wrote it, we were like, we would be watching the movie, and then we'd pause the movie and be like, okay, how do we put that scene on the stage? But that would result in a lot of unnecessary scenes that we ended up cutting for time at 54 Below.
Okay.
So it just turned into like a much tighter and stronger show because we cut the fat. But yeah, it's a space opera. It's like it's a classic hero's journey. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, it's so good.
So yeah, it totally translates very well.
I think it really does. And Antonio was so good as Luke. Antonio Cipriano.
I'm happy you saw the 7 o'clock, but at the 9:30, he was like, just in it. Like he was like, all right, no holds barred anymore. Like I'm just gonna go for it. Besides Sadie, he was the only new person who like truly had no idea what they were doing.
Who was Luke last time?
Gaten Matarazzo from Stranger Things.
Dustin from Stranger
Things. Yes. Who was amazing. It was supposed to be Antonio the whole time, actually. Okay. But he had some like vocal troubles at Jagged and stuff. So like he was out for a couple days. So he was like, they really want me to like stay in, and I think I should. So I texted Gaten, who had seen Dear Evan Hansen, and I was like, I know you're gonna say no to this, but like, do you wanna be Luke Skywalker? And he was like, yes. Like, unequivocally, yes, I want to do this. And he like led the cast. Like, it was unreal.
When you emailed me and said that he was replacing him, I thought you were lying.
No, like,
I was like, what?
Okay, I have a theory about him, and I'm not going to look at Andrew or Dylan. I'm not trying to stir drama. I think he's going to be Jeremy or Michael in the Be More Chill movie. I'm manifesting this. I have a strong feeling this is happening.
I think he'd totally do it. He loves the show. I love that show.
Yeah.
And
he would be perfect. I mean, he's a great singer. He's the perfect age.
I hope they cast
kids. This. I hope so too.
I really do.
It could be you.
I would love to do it. If it's between me and Gaten, it's not the first time we've been up for a role together.
And
we met the first time was we were auditioning for a thing together, and he was like, Andrew? And I was like,
what was I going to say? We heard Ben on a different podcast like last fall where he made a hint that perhaps you hadn't seen the last of him as Evan Hansen. So it might end up just being him. Like, who really knows what it's going to be?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I want to say about Star Wars as well is what I loved is that we know the whole story. We know the prequel movies, and then you were able to allude to things that we learn in later movies or the prequels within musical numbers. That was brilliant.
That was the thing that we were like, everyone knows Vader is Luke's father. Mm-hmm. Like, let's not pretend that we don't know. Like, let's make it a bit. And I remember the first time we did it, there was this thing that kept happening where during one of the transitions, Drew, who was Vader, and Gaten, who was Luke, kept running into each other. Mm-hmm. And every single time, Gaten would go, "Dad?" And Drew would go, "Son!" And then they just pass by. It's very funny.
That's great.
Yeah, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We have all sorts of... We've started writing more.
Oh, breaking news.
We'll see. But we'll see what happens with those. But yeah, I just thought, like... We shouldn't pretend that we don't know what happens because right. we know what happens.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
still exciting, but like the Vader thing is not that like groundbreaking anymore that mm-hmm. he's his father. Like it's the most well-known pop culture thing
mm-hmm. I would say
in this country, probably in the world.
Yeah. So, I was talking to my dad about it, who like was a young man when Star Wars came out. He was like, "No, that was like the biggest twist
I know.
In cinematic history. Like well, nobody saw it coming.
Nobody knew except for George Lucas and Mark Hamill. Nobody knew.
Oh,
and then
cool.
like James Earl Jones, who recorded it.
Yeah.
And James Earl Jones like thought Vader was lying.
Mm.
Like he was like, "Oh, I wonder how they're gonna play out this lie." But like, no, that's for real what it is. I just watched a documentary about this.
Oh, cool,
that's
so cool.
Yeah. But
oh, how cool. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it would be crazy today, but like, well, not really because we have Star Wars, but like
sure.
Yeah, we just all know.
Right now.
So I was like, let's not pretend mm-hmm. that we don't know.
I'm trying to think of like any other major like plot twists in like a long running series or something that like gagged everyone.
Hmm.
I guess like when reading Harry Potter, finding out that have you read Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Remember that? Okay. Finding out that Snape is like actually like a good guy. That
yeah,
was like
yeah.
a pretty
that
Snape,
was a huge twist. Yes.
Oh wait, what's yeah, Snape's the Half-Blood Prince, Snape's a good guy. Yeah, yeah that's
end of High School Musical 3, finding out who gets into Juilliard. I mean, wow, what a moment.
We're finding out that Darbus submitted Troy.
A gag.
Okay. So the first time I watched High School Musical 3 after a couple years was like a couple months ago, and we get to the part where Ryan is accepted into Juilliard mm. and I start sobbing because
oh.
you look at Lucas Grabeel's face and he is so happy.
Yeah,
and
he's a genius.
He's unbelievable.
Like carries so much of that movie in many ways. Like
he's
all three of
maybe
them.
The strongest
I know.
Performance in
I
those
think
movies
so too. Yeah, I think so too.
Well, and then Corbin Bleu, who has become a full-fledged
and
Broadway
star. And
now he's
star. Doing Catch Me If You Can.
Really?
At, yes, like at the Arena
Kennedy
Stage.
Center?
It's at Arena Stage. Yeah, where Dear Evan Hansen began.
Oh,
I have to go.
We'll go together because I need this, you know, that's my favorite show. But yeah. it's so cool. You know, in this post-Hamilton world, we're just kind of going like, you know what? Although this is a bio musical, it doesn't matter that.
Yeah, it's not like it's a revival
exactly.
unless they bring it to Broadway, which would be awesome.
Yeah, maybe
it'll get the credit it deserves this time around because people
score.
Weren't obsessed with it.
The score's amazing. I think it needs to be less polished, in mm-hmm. my opinion. That's what the show needs. And I love Aaron Tveit. I think he delivered a very like clean, polishy performance, which totally worked for him.
Yeah.
When I was doing the show, I was like, this is not working for me. And what actually did it, and I wrote an essay about this for the Jimmys, because you have to write an essay for the Jimmys, which was weird.
Little
known fact about the Jimmys, you have to write an essay.
Oh my God.
Accepted. I wrote an essay about how the thing that got me into Frank Jr.'s head was I read Catcher in the Rye in school, and it was my first encounter with an unreliable narrator.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, he's lying to the audience. Like, because
yeah.
like, Frank narrates so much story. He's like, this yeah. is what happened. It was all going very well. And I was like, why is everything going so well for him? Mm-hmm. Like, and then I read it and I was like, oh no, he's lying.
Yeah. Oh wow. Yeah. Mm.
And so that was when I really started to dive into his psyche, and I'd kill to do that role again. It is not a role for me, but I can't do it.
Oh my God. Why not?
Why not? Hopefully I can have a couple years to like get hot and then
yeah.
I can.
Oh my God. Your resume, you've done like a lot of those like amazing, like you were in Rent.
I was. I played Roger.
Oh, you were Roger.
I was Roger. Isn't that hilarious?
You're a Mark to me.
I am a Mark, mm-hmm. but there was just this other kid who could not have played any other mm-hmm. role, and he was like very good. So it just, and I was like the only person who had like a sort of rock voice.
Sure.
So that was how it played out. And I was like, okay. And I remember I shouldn't say what I was about to say,
no,
but
good.
I played Roger, and it was very funny. And that was sort of my beginning of like my like leather jacket wearing
okay,
roles that
okay.
I was like, I've never done anything like that, but I played Galileo in We Will Rock You, which
okay.
was the most fun. And
you did
Tommy.
Danny Zuko, right?
I did Danny Zuko when I was younger. I played Judy in the more recent one, but I played Tommy in the Who's Tommy, which is my other like favorite role I've ever done.
And that's Love. Coming. That's coming.
It is
yeah.
coming.
I don't know what they're doing with it.
Wait, it is
next
yeah,
year.
Yeah, well what
I don't
did
know
he say?
Anything.
He said he's gonna make it like a phone thing, like because it's like the mirror and like we're always staring at the black mirror, you know, so like
oh wig,
that's what he said. So I hope it's not too on the nose, but like I'm excited about it.
Yeah,
because
who's directing it?
It's Des McAnuff is doing
okay,
it again.
Okay, great. Yeah. That's cool.
Okay, when I have to ask you, you're famously going to Harvard.
I am.
Do you think you'll do music there?
Yes. So my plan is to concentrate, because they are called concentrations. They're not majors.
At Harvard.
I'm planning on
concentrating. What, like it's
hard? That's what everyone started calling me, Elle Woods, after. But I plan on concentrating in theater, dance, and media, but focusing on like directing and writing and,
love it.
And dramaturgy and also music composition. So I'm excited. And also just like the blind spots for me that are like Shakespeare and dance, I don't really have much of a background in. So I really want to just expand the things that I don't know. And I was worried about, you know, if I just majored somewhere in like music composition, then I feel like I'd come out and not write music.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I really wanted to do everything. So
that's, you have such a good head on your shoulders.
Thank you.
I know.
Because I remember when you were cast, like the internet did go crazy. That, yeah. He's so young. Where do you go from here? What do you do? And you're making this amazing decision to keep learning and growing.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of what I... That's how I like to think I got here, was that I always had the mindset of I will never be done growing, and it will take a lot of time for me to get here. Obviously, I got here faster than I or anyone had anticipated, which I'm so thankful for. But that doesn't mean this whole year has been a year of growth and learning from the people around me. I've been in the best conservatory I could have gone to. So like, aww. Why would I go to, a Michigan or something where to get accepted into a school like that? Just because I want to, that's what I've been doing. So I want to try other stuff.
So that's so amazing.
I mean, and of course you can always like, take a semester off if you do get cast in Be More and Chill film or something.
We've all sort of been like, yes, that's okay. Like if it takes longer, that's okay. But I will graduate with a degree. That's the plan.
Do you have any siblings? That.
I do. I have an older sister and I have two cousins who we were pretty much raised together. So they're like brothers to me.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool. That's awesome. Is anyone else musical in your family?
Yeah. My brother Matt is like knows every instrument that there is. It's sort of skipped generations.
Okay, that happens.
But yeah, I'm the first like singer.
Okay.
In my family,
and that just came from like seeing shows as a kid.
Yeah, I don't know how it worked, but like I started like playing the drums when I was really really little, playing piano when I was really really little, and it just sort of all came from there. It's very weird.
And when was your first trip to a Disney park?
Okay.
I know that you were, you're repping a Disney World shirt today.
Yes. Like... I think that's my other Ring of Keys moment.
Okay.
Because I was less than 6 months old when we went the first time, because when I was born, my mom promised my sister that nothing would change. And they had this trip planned. Aww. So they were like, we're just going to go. And they took me. I obviously don't remember it, but I had the base set for loving immersion and escapism. Mm-hmm. And I think the Disney parks, what makes them so strong is that it is theater. It's theater in its most immersive form. It's pure theater.
And 100%.
They literally call their workers characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I was, I think the other thing that made me love theater is I lived in that world and I just didn't want to leave. And so that's what made me want to keep creating theater and being a part of theater. So that was my first trip. And we went yearly after that for like literally 3 weeks at a time. We'd stay down there.
Oh my goodness. If we were to go together, you would be like, we're starting here. We're doing this. We're going around. Yeah.
We plan the perfect amount. Like we can work on the fly, but we have a plan for the stuff that we know we need to plan in advance. Right now we really need to plan with like the Star Wars stuff. We just went for a couple of days and it's completely bananas.
Galaxy's Edge.
It's unbelievable.
I've heard great things.
The best way I've been explaining it to people is you have to look really, really hard to find the words Star Wars anywhere.
Oh.
Because it's all so in-universe, and it just looks right. Like, it just looks like Star Wars. And it's not based on anything from the movies. It's not a world from the movies.
Oh.
It's not. It's its own new planet, city in this planet that just looks right and feels like Star Wars. And, like... It's absurd.
It's very Mandalorian in a way.
Yeah. it was emotional for me and my brother, because like the new ride is truly, truly like beyond anything
I've heard
ever
that.
Done.
Yeah.
It's the best one. It's the best ride. And we get off and just like hugged each other. Oh. We're like, oh my God. Like like we did it. Like we felt like we accomplished.
Is that
something.
In Hollywood Studios?
Yes.
Okay. And have you done Pandora?
Yes.
Okay.
Which up until this has been like Flight of Passage is the best.
Yeah. That we haven't been since like 2012 or 13, 2012.
Okay. Yeah.
Pandora is unbelievable. And what's so great about it is like we don't remember that movie.
No one could tell you a single character name in that movie.
Jake Sully.
Okay. That's the only one. That's
fine. Okay, fine.
Which is like what makes that so cool and weird.
Yeah. Because
you're like, what is this place? Like, it's so cool. Avatar 2 will probably change that at least for a time. But like,
sure.
It's really cool.
Interesting that Disney decided to really go all in on Avatar Land.
Well, it's funny because
you know?
They did that like when it was still hot.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
So then they were like, oh, wait, nobody cares about this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it fits so well in that park. And Joe Rohde, who's the Imagineer, the lead Imagineer on Animal Kingdom, like what he did with this land is beyond. Like, it. I could go on.
I need to go so badly.
I kind of love the idea of this very popular film having its own land and maybe it being the thing that introduces people to that movie, you know? Like, if they haven't seen Avatar, they're going to Pandora, which is why I loved In Tower of Terror, which, RIP.
It's still in World. It's still in World.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they're ever going to get rid of it in World.
Okay. Because
there's nothing they... Because, okay, here's my theory. We have a lot of theories about, like, Matt, my brother, and I just go back and forth discussing
awesome.
Stuff. So they replaced it in California with the Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Okay.
There is a Guardians of the Galaxy ride coming to Disney World in Epcot in a totally different place.
Oh.
So I think Tower of Terror is completely safe.
Oh, thank goodness.
We can breathe. That's amazing.
I've been, like,
hear.
Devastated about it because, like, I just felt like it was so specific. It's not really Disney, but they make it.
The
you know
thing
what I mean?
Is like,
it's cool.
Is like, it is intellectual property, which I think is the thing we all talk about. Is like they're littering the IP all over the place. But like that is IP. But now it's sort of become its own. It has a life of its own. So I don't think. And it started in World. The first one is in World. The better one is in World.
Mm.
So
yeah,
I don't think they're ever gonna.
World is Florida, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember, there was this like movie that was on Disney Channel when we were kids, and it was like in a haunted hotel. Do you remember this movie?
Oh, the Tower of Terror movie.
Is that the Tower of Terror movie?
I think you're thinking of the Tower of Terror movie.
It was.
Made a Tower of Terror movie, and it's like, yeah, it's pretty good.
And that's based on the ride?
It's based on the ride.
Which has like Twilight Zone influences. Okay.
Is the movie on Disney Plus?
I believe the movie is on Disney Plus.
Okay.
I also have a VHS of it somewhere. But yeah, there's that movie. Pirates of the Caribbean is also based on the ride. Mm-hmm. Haunted Mansion is based on the ride.
That's it?
They also made comic books based on a lot of the rides, which are amazing.
You know everything.
I'm really, really bad about this. Yeah.
What is like the number one thing that you would encourage people to do if they were to go right now to
Disney World?
To World.
I mean, if you can get on Rise of the Resistance, get on Rise of the Resistance. That's the new Star Wars ride. Like, it's an experience.
Okay.
It's unlike anything I've ever experienced. I am personally a particular aficionado of the Haunted Mansion.
Okay.
So, but I wouldn't be like, go on the Haunted Mansion if you know nothing about the Haunted Mansion.
Sure.
Like, I think you need a bit of background. I love to take people on the Haunted Mansion and like give the history to them. And it's funny because I remember doing this to them and I'm like, I'm going to torture you. And they're like, oh God. Like, I'm really... And then by the end, like we get off and she's like, you know what? I learned something today. Like,
there you go.
I was like, yes.
We have a video of us as kids outside the Haunted Mansion, like that's like an old like camcorder, and we were terrified, but we were like trying to like,
oh my God, it's so gay.
It's, yeah.
Wait, we're like 6 years old and one of us is like, welcome to the Haunted Mansion. Like it's so, it's vintage.
It's loosely based on a character from Scooby-Doo, the Zombie Island movie.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever seen that movie? And we were too scared to go in, but then we went back eventually later, and it's amazing. There's so many hidden Mickeys, too. Right?
Yes. I mean, everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
Wait, Company has what we could call it hidden Mickeys.
Yeah, my boyfriend came with us to Company, and
it's like hidden 35s everywhere. It's like all over the stage.
Oh, I love that.
Is this spoiling the Company?
And Hunter was like, it's like hidden Mickeys. We're like, honestly, if you watched all the scenes.
I love that.
It's so cool, because it's like, Bobby's turning 35, and perhaps that's one of the big things on her mind during this birthday vignette remembrance, or perhaps happening in, you know what I mean?
Amazing.
So cool. Okay, I feel like we should start wrapping up.
We're starting to wrap up, yep.
Although I am gagged for this convo.
Yeah.
Andrew, you are so full of knowledge.
Thank you guys.
You're so
cool. I'm loving this. This is so fun.
Yay. Okay. So we like to end on a dose of drama, which is like something that's on our mind, something we're thinking about, something that's, you know, maybe based on this conversation. It could be something you've been binge watching, maybe something you just saw, maybe anything on your mind. I think I'm going to kick it off today.
You're going to kick it off?
I'm going to kick it off. It's inspired by Company. So I think it's my favorite musical of the season.
Yeah,
I absolutely love the production. And I think sometimes when we talk about things we love, or even me on this podcast, sometimes I'm like not going to talk about something that I don't love about something. Right. And there was a casting decision made in company that I am just not thrilled with. And I want to acknowledge that. Just that's my drama. It's dramatic. It would be a perfect production, perhaps, if this role was given to somebody else. And that's all I'm going to say. No shade at all. I am not trying to be shady in the least, but I'm just, I have to be real. I have to be real and be like, I loved the show. I wish maybe somebody else was in this part. And that's all I'm going to say.
And out of respect, you're not going to say
out of respect. But okay, you know what? Like, I think it's okay to have, you know, obviously it's okay to critique things and still love them and be like, you know what? I would have rather somebody else in it. I loved it anyway. I would totally go back anyway. Yeah. And I think that's what's cool about theater.
And you still did love a lot of things about their performance.
Sure, absolutely.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say because it's not, it doesn't matter, but I think it opens up a larger conversation about like being able to critique and still enjoy something, and still be respectful in that critique. I think sometimes people are like, oh, I hated this performance. It's like, no, I didn't hate this performance. I loved the production, and I think it's like my favorite musical of the season. But yeah, I don't know. I think we can critique with respect, and it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Yeah,
completely.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. All right, Dylan.
I have some drama. Spill. And this is to, I'm not going to call them fans, but the listeners of this podcast.
Oh, here we go.
There was a string of episodes from like the beginning of launching this through like February in which we happened to have people who tied into the musical Spring Awakening. And I think people got a little over Spring Awakening. That was like our rent in many ways. Like,
got it.
We were obsessed with Spring Awakening. And I will say that there will be a drought now to everyone who complained about too much Spring Awakening talk. This is not the last you've heard of that beautiful, brilliant musical, but it will come back again down the line. And I promise that we'll continue to have great content, whether you like it or not.
And also on that, I think you'd be hard pressed to find one of the most the most talented people are in their like mid to late 20s were probably in Spring Awakening, probably. Whether it was the tour, the revival, you know, at some point. So I think that's also why we had so many Spring Awakening cast members on, because they're all still working and they're all great. But anyway.
Well, that show for me was, okay, so I'd never seen that show.
Okay.
The first time I saw it was very recently. My friends did a production on Long Island.
Oh, fun.
And I knew a lot of these people, and this is, I guess, now I'm talking about Spring Awakening, but I knew a lot of these people, but and so Gabby Karuba, who's currently playing Zoe, and I were like, we wanted to create something together. We wanted to write something together, and she told me she was very fascinated with stories surrounding boys will be boys and that sort of concept. And so I was trying to get inspired. I finally see my friends in Spring Awakening, and there's this new kid. His name's Brendan Kispert. I'll say his name on it because he's great. And he played Hanshin, and I was like, oh my God, okay. First of all, this kid's amazing. Second of all, there's something very, very interesting about him with these three of my friends who are also in the show. Put the four of them together, there's something very interesting and very dangerous about that. So we started writing the show, and now we're doing it this summer with my company. And
oh my god!
This is not the official announcement because I don't want to talk too much about it because we don't have
official
details yet. But you'll hear about it soon. And so,
love it.
I guess that's my drama.
I love that. It's sort of like a little teaser,
little teasy. Yeah. I'm very excited about it. And like, I'm normally someone who's very like, I don't know if this was good. I don't know if this performance of mine was good, if this thing that I wrote was good. The play is excellent, and I'm very, very excited about it.
Oh my God.
I'm very excited for people to see it, and the kids who are doing it are unbelievable, and it's going to be very special.
That's like part, that's who you are. Like, even like with the Star Wars show that you did, like, all these talented people just seem to flock to you, and the creative juices all were flowing. Like,
well, you know, I know all these talented people, and I've been given this incredible opportunity, so like, to not share that with them would be a complete waste, because they're also amazing. And it's all these kids from Long Island, like these boys from Long Island, these kids who are just so fantastic. And we're working with them a lot on you know, sort of what I've learned over the last year and what Gabby obviously already knows. She's directing it. And so it's
cool. Yes. Lady director.
Yes.
This show needs it.
Okay.
So I'm very, very excited about it. And hopefully there'll be more details very, very soon.
I love it. So everyone can keep up with you at Andrew B. Feldman on Twitter and at Andrew B. Feldman _.
I know, somebody took it on Instagram.
Oh.
I know, it doesn't suck. And it's like very difficult to change your username if you're verified. You have to like call and they don't answer. So
Once I got locked out of an account and I needed to like retrieve all the information, and they had to have me send a selfie holding up a piece of paper with this special code written on it.
Oh my God.
And then they would cross-reference if it was really me and the person in the picture. Truly, like, I mean, I'm grateful for the security. Like, so no one would try and steal my account, but like, what?
Yeah.
That's wild. But anyway, Andrew, you are amazing.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
We have not seen the last of you. At all.
I'm definitely not, because I will make sure that I'm putting a bunch of weird stuff out into the world.
Yes.
Well, the world is better for it. You're so talented and so nice. All the rumors about you are true. You're just the
rumors are true.
Person.
Nice.
The rumors are true.
The rumors.
And we hope that everyone follows you. Everyone follows at the Drama Podcast and stays up to date on all the latest shade and tea and all the fun things that go along with it.
And follow me at Connor McDowell.
Me at Dylan McDowell. And thank you again, Andrew. You're a gem.
So
and Connor, I'll see you next time.
Drama.